Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming along today. Very good to see you. This is our last session looking at prayer. We've been doing this every week over the summer. And that means in 2 weeks' time, we're back in our normal kind of partnership studies. So not next week, the week after, and we're going to be looking at Acts. Well, for at least a term and a half, we'll be doing some work in Acts. So if you have a chance, it would be brilliant to read through Acts before then, if you can. And feel free to encourage others along. It would be brilliant. Other Christians you know in the city, other people that would benefit from being with us, please encourage them to be with us. Just so you know as well, this week, if you weren't there yesterday, tomorrow lunchtime, William is speaking on the topic, how does the gospel advance in the world? Why does it not always advance in the way that we might expect, the way that we might want? It's a really good talk. Really encouraging. So again, try and get along tomorrow lunchtime if you're able to. And final thing to say, on these prayer sessions, we're going to produce a sort of a summary sheet of some of the things that we've learnt over this summer period. I guess many of us have only been able to make one or two, but we've recorded most of the sessions and we're going to put together a sheet of some of the big lessons. So if you are able to be in a workplace prayer group or you're trying to set up a prayer triplet, hopefully it'll be of use to you in that. And also, if you're able to kind of get alongside others in the city, you'll have noticed that there are many, many Christians in the city, but not many Christians come to pray. People find it hard to pray. People are nervous about praying. And so it'd be brilliant if you're on the lookout for people like that who you can encourage. You can get alongside and say, well, I could help you with that if you wanted. And hopefully this sheet would help you in that. Let me pray for our time together this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the freedom that we have to meet together in the name of Jesus Christ as your people. And we thank you for this amazing work that you've given us to do in prayer, in praying to you, this privilege we have of partnering with you in prayer. And we pray that you'd help us this morning to pray in line with what you want, what pleases you, what is your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you've got a sheet there with a couple of things. You can scribble a few notes. I'll speak for about 15 minutes and then we'll have a chance to pray in twos and threes. On the weekend, I went to a museum, the dockyard that's now turned into a museum, where Lord Nelson's HMS Victory was built. Lord Nelson's HMS Victory, which he sailed around in during the Battle of, does anyone know? Trafalgar. Somebody on Monday said Waterloo as well, but it's Trafalgar, I think. And it was against who, Helen? The French, obviously, led by Napoleon. If you're from China, don't worry. It's very important to some people in Britain, but there are much more important things going on. But the point of this museum was to say Nelson was obviously this huge hero that defeated Napoleon, defeated the French, but what about the guys who built all of his ships, the huge fleet, flotilla of ships that he had? The guys working behind the scenes, building those ships, were really, really important. Don't forget that. Don't just think about Nelson and his amazing tactics and his leadership. Think about the guys building the ships. And I guess it's easy to forget about prayer, isn't it? It's behind the scenes, it's not very glamorous, and we easily kind of downplay it in our importance. The guys who are preaching up front, our conversations with people, our evangelistic efforts, our programs, but we forget about prayer. Have a look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Just see how much of an emphasis Paul puts on prayer. This is on page 1194. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. First of all, then. First of all, in what? What is it? Why is Paul writing 1 Timothy? He's encouraging people to pray, but why? Have a look at chapter 3, verses 14 to 16, which just gives us the purpose of this letter. Paul is writing this to a bloke called Timothy, who is a church leader in Turkey, and he says to Timothy, in verse 14, chapter 3, I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth. So he's writing that you may know how to behave as part of God's church, which is a pillar and buttress of truth. This is a pillar, I think, and this is a buttress. Is that right? Who knows? But I think it's... Really? Okay, this is a pillar though, isn't it? Okay, and it's holding up the roof. But the church, Paul says, is so amazing that it holds out the truth to the world. That's the role that God has given God's people. And that is a really important thing, a big privilege. And Paul is writing to Timothy and saying, right, that's who you are as God's people. I want you to know how to behave, how to be effective, how to be a church that is fit for purpose. And so in chapter 2, he says, first of all then, pray. Pray supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. So just want us to notice that, the scale of the ministry of prayer. We are, as God's people, a pillar and buttress of truth, holding out the truth to the world. We've got a really important role, and prayer is a massive part of that. And just see the scale of it. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. So it's not just a kind of, dear God, please bless everyone around the world, amen. It's lots of prayer for lots of people. And he urges them, I urge that this happens. So it's a big thing. And I guess we don't see it now. It is unglamorous. It is unseen. But when we get to heaven, we will see how valuable our prayers have been. So I just want to encourage us that prayer really matters. Now let's just learn a bit more about what Paul says about prayer in this letter to Timothy. And I think the big thing he wants us to see is pray for all people to be saved. Pray for all people to be saved because God desires all people to be saved. Let me just read chapter 2, 1 to 6. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Saviour, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So who does Paul want us to pray for? Who does he want a church that is effective, that holds out, that is a pillar and buttress of truth in the world? He wants that church to be praying for all people, including those who are kings and those who are in authority. So it's very wide-ranging and far-reaching, isn't it? All is a massive word. Does Paul expect us to pray through the telephone directory, pray through the list? In one sense, yes. Pray for everybody. Pray for all those around us. It's easy, isn't it, for Christians to be inward-looking, just to pray for ourselves. It is important to pray for ourselves, to pray for one another. But Paul says, have a big view. See what your role is in the world and pray for all kinds of people. In the letter, you see there's a group of false teachers, and they have become quite narrow. They've become obsessed with myths and genealogies and vain discussions and speculations, Paul says. They're in danger of being inward-looking, thinking that the Christian message is just for certain people. But Paul says, pray for all people. So when we come to pray in a minute, pray for people perhaps you don't normally pray for. Try and think laterally and pray for people who you wouldn't normally pray for. Perhaps pray for the devout Muslim in the office who you think naturally would never become a Christian. Pray for the hard-bitten atheist. Pray for the person who looks really morally good, involved in charity works. Pray for the adulterer in the office. Go through your company email list and pray for some people. Pray for the people in your team. And pray for those who are kings, those who are in high positions. It's easy for Christians to feel negative about those who are in power, those who are often negative about the gospel, who don't encourage Christians, who often restrict the growth of the gospel. And again, in Timothy, I think there's a hint that the people from a Jewish background were keen on overthrowing their leaders, getting rid of those who oppressed them. But Paul says, actually pray for those people who are leaders. In this day, it was Nero who was the emperor, somebody who persecuted Christians. But Paul says, pray. So let's pray for Obama. Let's pray for Boris Johnson. Pray for Cameron. Pray for the head of the BBC. Pray for those who own the newspapers. Pray even for Alex Salmond. Pray for the people who are head of your company, your CEO, your head of your team. Pray for all people. Don't be narrow. Pray for everyone. But what do we actually pray for them? What does Paul want us to pray for them? Well, he doesn't actually say what we should be saying in these prayers. He just says we should be praying lots of kinds of prayers for all kinds of people. But I think it's pretty clear that what he wants us to be praying is for things that will lead to people being saved. So have a look at verse 3. This is good. It is good to be praying for all people, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Saviour. Verse 4, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 6, Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all. So there's a link there, isn't there, between praying for all people with the fact that God wants all people to be saved. Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all. And I think that's a big theme of the letter. In chapter 1, Paul makes it really clear that the reason Jesus came into the world was to save sinners. That's the big reason. The false teachers are getting distracted into all kinds of speculations, all kinds of details they're getting obsessed with. And Paul is bringing them back to the true faith. This is the truth that you're meant to be holding out, that God wants people to be saved. This is why Jesus came into the world. So our prayers have to have that focus. And also, secondly, our prayers need to kind of pray for people, for in such a way that enable Christians to be godly. So he says, doesn't he, in verse second half of verse 2, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And all the way through the letter, it's a big thing about the godliness of people. If we're to be a church that holds out the truth, if Timothy is to be a church leader that encourages a church in that, he needs to be godly, his church needs to be godly, he needs to fight the good faith. There's a big theme all the way through the letter. So our prayer should be praying that leaders will lead in such a way that Christians are enabled to be godly and just get on with being Christians, get on with spreading the gospel. We should be praying for leaders to be converted. We should be praying for individuals to be converted so that people are saved. So I think that means that we want to be careful that when we're praying, we're not just praying for our company bosses to be a bit more ethical, handle the pension pot well. You hear of prayer groups doing that sometimes. Good to pray for those things, or sometimes we pray for one another, we pray for people that they might just get healed, or they might have a happier life. But ultimately, we want people to be saved, because that is what God wants. So let's pray that that would be the aim of our prayers, that Christians would be godly and people would be saved. That's what we should be praying. Why should we pray this? Let's push this a bit further. Well, we've said it already, but good to see it again. Verse 3, this is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Saviour. He is our Saviour, and he loves it when we pray. We're often concerned, aren't we, what people think of us, our peers, our bosses. But actually, the most important thing is to please God, and he is really pleased when we are praying. And what does he want? What pleases him? Verse 4, he desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So do we really believe that? Do we really believe that the gospel is not just for us, it's not just for those people we naturally care about, those people who we happen to know, our families and our mates? It's for everybody. God wants all people to be saved. Jesus was given as a ransom for all. Jesus died not just for us, but for the gospel to be made available to all people. It doesn't mean that everyone is going to be saved, but God wants, he desires everyone to be saved. He is sovereign, but he also wants everyone to be saved. And this means that we can pray with real confidence. We are not twisting God's arm. Often we think we want people to be saved, but God maybe is a bit kind of slow and maybe he doesn't, but he longs for people to be saved. I used to be work as a civil servant, and part of our job as civil servants would be to go to the ministers and say, the elected politicians, and say, right, give us some money so we can implement this project, we can bring in this legislation, we can do this, that, and the other. But we would do that with confidence because we knew that they had said, they had made a promise in the manifesto, or they'd stood up in Parliament and said, oh, this would be a good idea. So when we went to them and said, let's do this, we could do it with confidence because they'd already said it was something they wanted. Sometimes they'd forgotten, we had to remind them, but we could do it with confidence. And with God, how much more so? He longs for people to be saved, much more than we do. So we can pray with real confidence for people because he desires all people to be saved. And this is what people need. There is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is no other way for people to be saved. People need Jesus. So that's why we need to pray for them to become Christians. Otherwise, they are lost. How should we pray? There's a couple of things worth noticing in this chunk about how we can pray. We've been trying to help one another think about how we pray. And I think one thing just to notice from this, that it does seem to be a corporate activity here. So somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago in the Monday group, is it okay just to pray on our own? Does the Bible ever say that we should meet together to pray? And I think that is a big issue because, as you'll notice, lots of people in the city don't particularly want to come together and pray. And I don't know if you can really push it too far, but here it is clear that Paul is talking to a church together and he is talking to them about their public meetings, their activities. That's what chapter 2 is about. I could show you that later if you're not sure of that. But he is talking to them as a group. And so he's saying, when you meet together, make sure that you're praying for all people. So there is this expectation that we will be praying together, and that we should be praying big, wide-ranging prayers. So just an encouragement that we do pray. But when we do meet together, I think this helps us. When we're meeting as prayer triplets, when we're meeting in workplace prayer groups, let's be praying for all people. Let's not just pray for ourselves, our own concerns, but pray wide-ranging prayers. This is a really amazing privilege and amazing job that we've been given to do. And finally, let's pray prayers that are shaped by the Bible. So we've seen that all the way through this series, and you see it here again. Paul gives us big reasons about God to pray. So when we pray, let's use what God gives us in the scripture. So let's say, Lord, we know that you are our Savior. We know that you long for people to be saved. So please save so-and-so, or please enable the gospel to spread. Please enable politicians to make decisions that enable Christians to get on with being godly and share the gospel. Let's turn to pray in our groups, maybe split up into twos and threes to make that easier. There's a few things down there that we could pray. So pray that we would be confident in prayer, that we would pray prayers that are shaped by God's agenda. We'd be confident, we'd love to get involved in this work. We'd have God's ambitions, not just our own small ones. And then let's do it. Let's pray for those people we don't normally pray for. Pray for those people who we can think of in high positions. Pray for the city prayer groups. Pray for one another. And then feel free to go when you've finished.